Hello.
What's your least favorite scary movie?
Ho ho ho. Welcome to It's Your Least Favorite Scary Movie. The podcast where we talk about the good, the bad, the ugly, and the absurd in all of our favorite
and least favorite
scary movies.
Because we believe every horror movie rightfully has its fan base.
Even if we don't always get it.
My name is Travis.
My name is Jesse, and we're back for another live, uncut, and mostly undrawn episode of what we're referring to this month as 'Tis the Season to Be Jolly.
Yeah. Ho ho ho. Yeah, we're getting, we're keeping getting it festive. On the Tubi episodes this month. Yeah. So as you could see from the title of the movie that you started listening to, this is another Christmas-themed one. It's called All Through the House. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And we're going to talk about it here in a second.
What? We're going to talk about a movie on our movie podcast.
We're breaking new ground today.
I don't know why I said that kind of like Austin Powers movie.
Yeah. I don't know. Breaking new ground. New format. Tis the season to be jolly, y'all. Let's do this shit.
All right.
Okay, so no polls, no announcements that you are aware of?
This is our...
Oh my God, Jesse.
This is our bonus. Woo! All right.
It's our bonus who? Okay. All right. Oh, and Jesse has her voice back.
Yeah.
So she can talk and not sound like I karate chopped her throat today. Definitely not what happened.
Definitely.
Okay, so let's get into the movie then.
Okay, this was your pick
this
month.
This was my pick. I wanted to, I dug in there, tried to find all of the holiday-themed slashers or just any type of movie in general, and this one kind of grabbed my attention. The poster, it reminds me of, what's that fucking painting of the guy that's like eating a kid? Like, he's like got the, like, scared face. It looks like he's in a cave. Like, it's like, you know what I'm talking about. Come on, hold on. Watch this Google search. Painting of dude eating kid. You'll know exactly what I'm talking about. Yes, this is it. Exactly. Satan devouring his son. No, Saturn devouring his son. This thing. Remember?
No.
Did you see the poster of this movie?
No.
Oh, well, that might explain it. I'll show it to you afterwards. But, okay. You know, it kind of grabbed my attention. I was like, oh, that's a cool looking killer Santa right there. You know, like, that seems like something I could get behind.
Yeah, it was an interesting mask.
Yeah, okay, here. This is it. Right there. See? Doesn't it kind of look like it? Looks like it's a little bit inspired. He's got the shears. I don't know.
A lot about this movie feels inspired by other works.
Very, very well said. All right. Okay, so let's get talking about it.
All right.
Okay, All Through the House released on Halloween 2015.
Interesting choice.
Uh-huh. We watched it on Tubi because this is our Tubi show for this podcast. Written by Todd Nunez. Is it Nunes or Nunez?
Nunez.
Nunez. Written and directed by Todd Nunez. Music by Irving Victoria. And special effects by Josh McCarron and Tommy Peach.
Okay.
Starring Ashley Mary Nunez as Rachel, Natalie Montero as Gia, Danica Reiner as Sarah, Kathy Garrett as Abby, or her grandma in this movie, Melinda Kearing as Miss Garrett, and Lito Valesco as Killer.
Oh, Killer.
Yep. Don't even call them the name in this movie.
It's okay. My notes, I changed how I was referring to the killer about 5 times. So,
yeah, I did 2 times.
I didn't really understand what was happening until maybe the last 30 seconds of the movie.
I went from Santa to the name once we got an actual name of the person.
I went from Santa to Krampus.
Oh, you were starting to call it Krampus?
Yeah.
Okay.
After the one rumor was talked about, and I was like, okay, well, maybe this is their interpretation of Krampus. It's not, I mean, we just talked about it last week, but
that's true,
there's a lot of like Krampus Christmas horror movies.
It kind of like seemed like they were maybe going down that path for a second there.
Nope. No, we went a very different route.
Oh, yes. Yes, we did. All right. So, Jesse, do you think that this movie is budget or bugthead? Oh, I'm sorry. Let's play our game. Our favorite game.
Okay.
Budget or bugthead? Okay. Da-da. What'd you think? Budget or bugthead, Jesse?
I'm gonna go. This may be a shock. I'm gonna go with Bughead.
Oh yeah, baby. This is a Bughead movie, and I'm not saying that because I know the budget, because I don't. I don't have a budget for this, but
in a way,
saw it with my own eyes. I could see that was a low budget movie right there. But it looks okay. It looks fine. It's not like a bad low budget movie. It kind of reminded me
from the parts of the movie where the sound drops completely.
Okay, the sound was one of the weaker parts. But whenever I was looking at it, like visual wise, I was like, this is kind of almost in the same vein as Terrifier with quality.
Yeah.
Video wise.
Yeah. I could definitely see that. Yeah.
No. Don't have a box office. Don't have a worldwide gross. But I do have the IMDb score, and that is 4.4 out of 10.
All right.
Got three movies that also released in 2015 that we can compare it to.
Okay.
This was a challenge because I just did 2015 movies for Krampus also.
It happens sometimes, you know.
Sometimes it'd be like that.
It do.
But I did get a theme here. Well, okay. I started out with a theme, but then I saw the third movie. I was like, nope, that's got to be one of them.
Spoiler alert, similar thing happened with the main feed episode this week.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I had a very clear and distinct theme, and it ran out of steam by the time I got to the third movie.
Okay. All right. Well, the first movie is Harbinger Down.
Okay.
So this is the movie... That's have you heard the whole thing about when they were making the Thing prequel that came out in 2011, that they did it all in practical effects and then the team went and did CGI over top of that anyways to thwart.
Happened, unfortunately, often in that time.
Yeah. So this right here was those people went and wanted to make their own movie with those effects that they made. So they made Harbinger Down, which is almost like a Thing type movie. Like the poster looks exactly like the Thing.
Interesting.
Also. Yeah. So they went and they did their own shit with it. Have not seen it. Not sure how good it is. But it released August 7th, 2015. I don't have the budget, but it does have a worldwide gross of $61,000.
All right.
And an IMDb score of 4.6.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Second movie. Unnatural. This is so the theme was winter type stuff.
Okay.
And this right here, it takes place in Alaska. Apparently, it's about a genetically modified polar bear that goes on a rampage.
Okay. I kind of dig it.
You know what?
Maybe... Are there polar bears in Alaska? That might feel like a stupid question. I don't know where polar bears live.
Well, I don't know.
I always thought of them as a North Pole thing. Maybe, but as I'm saying this out loud, that feels like maybe I'm a dum-dum.
Maybe that's what makes this movie so terrifying. It's like having a polar bear in Kentucky. You know, that would be terrifying. If I actually saw one of those outside, I'd be like, what the fuck are you doing here?
That'd be terrifying for the poor little polar bear.
Wouldn't?
Yeah.
Can it not survive in this climate?
Yeah, I mean, it's not really the heat, it's the humidity.
That movie came out October 16th, 2015. Do have the budget. Budget was $3 million. Okay. And worldwide gross, do not have. IMDb score, 3.9.
Ooh.
These just keep dropping. It's fucking sinking
down.
No,
there was
a little... It went 4.4, 4.6, 3.9.
It's like the kiddie roller coaster.
Yeah, well... We're dropping down another tier right now for this next one. Okay. Hitting 3.1 IMDb rating on our next movie.
Okay.
The one that did not fit this theme. And that's because I saw the title. And I was like, okay, fuck it. Let's talk about this. Sharkensaw Women's Prison Massacre.
Okay. There's a lot happening. I'm guessing that there's a massacre of some sort. But I'm also guessing involving that there sharks. Are sharks.
And
the South.
It kind of reminded me, actually, of the fucking... What's the Christmas Jaws movie? Jingle Jaws? Santa Jaws.
Yeah.
I think that would be like a lot of fun to watch. It's like a stupid movie this year.
I mean,
Santa Jaws?
Yeah, come on.
Maybe we will. I don't know.
I like shark movies. There's no such thing as a bad shark movie.
Okay. Sure. This is actually a Jim Wynorski movie.
What?
Yeah, I saw the director. I was like, what the fuck? Yeah, that kind of surprised me.
Have a nice day.
So that released March 10th, 2015. Budget of $640,000 and no gross. And again, the IMDb was 3.1.
So Jim Wynorski just decided, I'm going to do a movie full of women.
I mean, that's kind of...
Odds are in his favor in that one.
I saw the Parents Guide. There's like no nudity in it. I think it was made for TV. Because there's like I saw on the release, it's like TV premiere. I'm like, okay, interesting.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, time for taglines. I only have one tagline today.
Oh, no.
That's okay. There is a creature stirring. All creatures in all caps.
Okay.
Emphasis there.
Kind of predictable.
Yeah,
kind of. As a tagline. I mean, I get it.
I don't know. I feel like it's so easy to do like a Christmas theme tagline. I'm
not entirely shocked that the movie is taking its tagline from another work.
What work are they taking it from? Like the song?
It's a poem.
That is a poem?
"'Twas the night before Christmas, and all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse."
Oh, okay. I don't know why I thought it was a song.
"The stockings are hung by the chimney with care, with the hopes that St. Nicholas soon would be there."
Well, okay, I don't fault them taking the name from that, because that works. Either. But the tagline, I mean, if it's the same thing, then like it kind of makes sense. Yeah, it's
fine. I'm not saying it doesn't make sense. I'm just saying this movie is more referential than it is anything else.
That's fair. Okay, we don't do fun facts on To Be or Not To Be, so we are jumping right into our movie discussion now.
Okay.
So Jesse, you kick it off. What was your good for this movie?
Oh, the special effects people clearly had a lot of fun.
Yeah, that was something that I noticed too. They did a really good job with the stuff on this.
There was no need for there to be as many houses and deaths shown as there were, other than for them to be like, let's up the body count and make a bunch of prosthetic dicks. These are the people that we can do our prosthetic dick business with.
Oh, shit, dude. Yeah. Oh, man. I could have set them up. That would have been great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they did a good job with that. Like, I think it's funny that you're talking about them showing all like the other houses. It's so obvious that they're like, well, we don't know what else to do, so let's just have them kill somebody else.
It's also so obvious the same house, and they just changed a couple of things in it each time they reshot. That, you know what they didn't change?
What?
The lights on the wall.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I was like, there's no way that this many people are just doing big droopy loops of string lights in their bedroom. That's not a common like decoration choice.
Maybe they're in a cookie cutter neighborhood and the lights came pre-installed.
Maybe it's a California thing.
It could be.
I don't know. But yeah, so I like the excessive deaths. I like the special effects work. I love a cantankerous granny. I'm never going to be mad at a granny that says, fuck her. Like, fuck yeah, her. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
I enjoyed those elements of it.
I agree with the effects. I thought that they did a fantastic job in this movie. I like the creepy and different approach to like the Santa look in this movie.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times you get just like a killer Santa, somebody going on a rampage. Okay, they just wear the hat, the like outfit and the beard, and that's it.
I'm going to be 100% honest about this. I couldn't tell. And maybe our discussion about Krampus fucked me up. But I couldn't tell if this was meant to be how this like person was designed or if it was a mask.
Oh, really?
And I know at points you can see the person's neck, but it's also a low budget feature. So I was just like, I don't know, maybe it wasn't attention to detail on their part. I wasn't 100% sure.
Do you see the mask in the opening shot?
I know, but still, Christmas magic.
Okay, I guess Christmas magic. We're going back to Christmas magic.
Maybe
here,
the scarecrow came to life, because why wouldn't we also throw in that kind of a reference to this movie?
Honestly, I think that could have been cool. I like the idea. So it's a solid black mask. I like the idea. I think it would be cool if they, like, if you have a killer Santa and he's being naughty and bad, make his mask built out of coal. I think that would be kind of cool.
Okay. Yeah. I like that idea.
Yeah. I'm kind of giving you all credit there on that one right there.
All right.
That's about it for the good for this movie for me. All right. What is your bad?
One of the things with these To Be or Not To Be movies is that a lot of times they're like an hour and 10 minutes, because that's all they need to be.
Yeah.
I feel the same about this one. It didn't need to be as long as it was.
It's not. It's barely over an hour and 10 minutes. It's an hour and 20.
It's an hour and 28.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Like, I don't know. I just felt like at certain points it kind of meandered a little bit, and we just throw in some stuff that, like, while fun, didn't really serve any purpose, and it was kind of a little bit of a convoluted plot happening. Mm-hmm. So when you just throw in random shit for no reason, it doesn't really help with the pacing of the movie.
Like, whenever all of the people for them to kill off were dead and it focused solely on Rachel and them, then it really...
It was so much of the movie left.
Yeah, it started to really drag at that point.
Like, wow, so much of the movie left.
Yeah.
Like, it was half the movie left.
It was almost half, yeah. It was pretty close to that, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. So I think it could have... It could be a fun little tight movie if we just, like,
cut
15, 20 minutes off.
Yeah, I agree. Okay. Yeah. You got anything else?
That's probably my biggest thing. Also, I did mention that there's a couple of points near the end where it's like the sound editor just got, like, annoyed and was just like, we'll just have silence here for 3 seconds.
That was something that really made me think, like, what the fuck? Because as somebody that makes shit, I don't just listen to a thing or watch a thing that I do. Even when I'm typing, like, a paragraph that I'm sending in an email, like, I read that shit or watch it or listen to it, like, 500 times to make sure everything's good. And that just makes you think, like, somebody was editing that day and they were like, I'm done with the scene. They didn't replay and see if they missed anything. But there are, like, parts where sound is just straight up non-existent and it kind of slowly, like, fades in eventually.
Like, one of them in particular, I think the most egregious one is when Sarah's being killed outside the window.
That's
where
the
Gia,
one. Yeah.
Like, and it almost, if it was a little bit lined up better, it could almost be like we're cutting to Gia inside the kitchen and we're not hearing the sound because she's inside, which I think maybe is what they were going for.
I think.
But it doesn't line up that way when you're actually watching the movie.
Well, it doesn't line up.
The silence starts when we're still outside of the house.
It's entirely silent. There's no ambient sounds or anything like that. Like,
yeah,
she's in there, like,
the
doing
other
dishes.
Thing. Like, you don't hear, like, water running.
Yeah.
Or her, like, slurping her nog or anything.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that was one of my biggest pet peeves for this movie was the sound design, because, like, right out the gate, you get things like, you get music that's overpowering dialogue certain times, then sometimes you get dialogue that's just, like, full blast and so loud, and then you have times where the sound is just non-existent.
Can I add something to my good real quick?
Sure.
We get our villain Milk.
Oh.
Hypothesis, but it's seasonal, because instead of milk, it's eggnog.
Yeah, holy shit, I didn't think about that, yeah. For those that need a reminder, Jesse has a theory about milk drinkers.
Yeah, the milk theory in horror movies is that if you see somebody drinking milk, they're a sociopath. And we haven't been wrong yet.
Honestly, yeah. Like, it's been confirmed every single time. I think the only time that it's been, like, not super accurate was in Martyrs when the family's having milk.
No, because the family had the people downstairs in their basement.
Wait.
That family was bad. They were
you're
a
right.
fucked up family.
You're right. Never mind. They were fucked up. I forgot about that part. Yep. Okay. Okay. Rest of my bad. One of the things I wrote was it tries imitating other movies but becomes noticeably worse at doing everything it tries to do.
Yeah.
Like, it's cool if you want to pay homage, but, like, if you're, like, straight up, like, redoing a scene from, like, other movies and it just comes across as, like, half-baked in the process. I just kind of, I don't know. I personally kind of give you a knock for that. And I also like the whole trope of, like, the evil mom and, like, the child that, like, they control. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just
complete
uninspired.
With a kennel that mm-hmm. they shove a grown woman into.
Yep.
But also don't lock the kennel.
Yeah, what the fuck was that about? Well, they probably hadn't.
But then
had
I also kind of
practice.
Laugh because I'm like, that might work on you. I've
on
seen
me?
You try to put Talia's kennel together. So I think if you just got thrown in the kennel, you'd be like, fuck, how do I get this thing open?
No, I got pretty proficient with the kennel eventually. It took some time, but I got there. okay, ugly. what was ugly?
I guess we'll go with the cycle of abuse that's on display here, because clearly some shit happened to Mrs. Garrett when she was a child that is very heavily indicated in the movie. And then obviously she takes it out on her own child and on everybody around her, basically. Yeah. So yeah, I'm gonna call the cycle of abuse pretty ugly.
Okay, that is one of mine too. I'll also throw in the animal deaths.
Yeah,
some of them are just unnecessary at this point. Like the first one, the dog goes into the backyard and that's what happens. Okay, fuck off. That sucks. But then, like, the second one, it's almost like an anti, like, a reverse scene of that scene from Thanksgiving.
Yes!
Where, like, he killed the person, and then there's just the cat there.
Yeah.
This time, he just, like, notices the cat on his way out, and he's like, and then, like, he kills the cat off screen, too. And it's just like, fuck you, dude. Like, don't, there's no need for that. Like,
yeah.
That's just such a cheap way to make your villain despisable. Or despicable, I should say. That it's just, I don't know, it just feels so cheap.
Also, like, and we're, this is very similar ground to Sleepaway Camp, right? Because a parent or parental figure taking a child, being upset with the gender the child was born as and trying to force them to live a different way.
Exactly, yeah.
And I know that I'm at times critical of Sleepaway Camp, but there is, like, the read on it that, like, Angela's whole shtick is because she is being forced to live outside of the gender that
she was, like, that she was originally,
that she was assigned at birth, and that she didn't have a problem identifying as, you know what I mean? Like, it was like,
it was something that was forced upon her.
Yes,
it wasn't her choice.
So there's that read on it, and then when you see the deaths that she does, it's always like in retribution for, like, things like sexual harassment and, you know, predatory behaviors. And so there's that kind of that read on it.
Yeah.
This just takes this person that's been abused by their parent, given what seems to be very inadequate treatment from a hospital for most of their life. Uh-huh. And then it's like, hey, we're gonna make them as despicable as possible. So, like, yeah, obviously you're gonna hate the mom, but, like, isn't this person kind of a twisted killer too?
Yeah,
like,
this person's kind of fucked up
too. Yeah, it feels like very it's not done with any kind of a finesse. Like, it doesn't give that character depth necessarily beyond, like, I had my penis cut off and now I'm going to cut off penises. Like,
yeah,
there's something missing to make it, to give it any kind of, like, a benefit of the doubt reading of it. You know what I mean? And I don't, I hate that, like, it is such a problem in horror movies that, like, okay, we're going to have, like, this kind of character that could be read as trans, and force them to be a bad person.
It just felt it felt like the reveal was just there for shock. It didn't feel like it really was there to, like, serve, like, a bigger purpose.
Yeah.
I guess, like, it doesn't matter. It really didn't matter one way or another if this happened to this person, like, in the end.
Like, it did matter, but also didn't. Like, it doesn't feel,
well,
like,
because they're gonna, like, in the end of the movie, Mascara is like, I'm gonna kill you anyways.
And I'm gonna refer to Jamie as he, because that clearly seems to be,
well, they want their penis back. Yeah.
Yeah.
They want,
like, to be a guy again. It was Mrs. Garrett that forced the whole, like, you're gonna live as a little girl
thing. If you have no idea what we're talking about here, and, like, just hearing they want their penis back, like, yeah, don't.
It is the thing.
There is the thing. The whole thing in this movie, there's multiple dicks getting snipped off, and you find out at the end that this person's collecting a bag of dicks to find out which one best suits them.
Yeah. And, like, and that's what I mean. Like, there's something there to the story, but it's not very well done. And it just makes this person seem like a horribly bad person. Like, we get no nuance to the story there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
I'm not articulating this as well as I want to be articulating.
I totally understand what you're saying. Like, it could have been a thing, but really there's not enough substance there for it to, like, have any real true meaning to it.
Yes. It's just like, hey, like, wouldn't this be interesting if we took this premise from Sleepaway Camp and tacked it on here at the end?
Yeah, like, let's play with that a little bit more. And they really don't really play with it too much. They just kind of, like, take that idea and just, like, well,
It would be more interesting to see like more interaction between Mrs. Garrett and Jamie earlier on.
Yeah, I mean, if you got anything from it, but and like Jamie doesn't see, even like, speak the entire time.
Yeah, to see like maybe Mrs. Garrett is pushing him to do these deaths and he doesn't really want to. Maybe he like has some restraint with something. You know what I mean? But yeah. He is killing all of the women he sees and cutting off all of the dicks that he sees. And then also killing every animal he sees. And it's just like what? I said, there's no depth to this character. We get told this backstory, but like we don't, if we weren't told this backstory, it wouldn't play out on screen in a way that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just weird. Okay. Okay. So what is your absurd then?
The Mac and me death of Mrs. Garrett, of, not Mrs. Garrett, of Rachel's grandmother.
Oh, dude, I had that too. My first thought was like, where's Paul Rudd at? Like,
yes, exactly.
He needs to show this clip to Conan too. I think that would be hilarious. Like, don't worry, I've got like a Christmas movie today to show you that I'm promoting. And it's just this clip right here. That would be fantastic. I would love it.
Yeah. I was just like, okay, whatever. We're just in this movie for whatever it is.
Yeah, so stupid. Mine was the pump up self jerking action that happens in the beginning of the movie where the guy is like, he walks in on his wife. She's like, all right, we'll go get ready. I want to see him be happy. So he's like, okay, I'll go make him happy.
He's like, come on, man, be happy. We want to have sex. Like
he's not okay. He's like, he's just standing in the corner. Like he's like looking at like the fucking wall, like the corner of the wall. And he's just like talking to himself. He's like, yeah, get hard. And he's just like jerking himself off until he, you know, gets it going. And then by the time he does get it going, he turns around and it gets snipped off because
it did. And it takes like a solid 30 seconds for him to register what happened and scream.
Yeah, it really does. Yeah. He was in shock from that, but it was just so weird seeing a dude standing in the corner, like jerking himself off and pumping himself up at the same time. It's so weird. He was getting changed.
He was wearing a flannel shirt and that's it. And then he was going, come on. We're going to have really great sex. Like I'm not editorializing. He says that exact line.
He does.
At
yeah.
one point.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. So what do you rate this thing?
Oh man. I think honestly, I can't believe I'm siding with IMDb, but I'm going to give it a 4.
Okay. Well, I mean, sometimes IMDb is accurate, you know? In this case, I think that it is because I was thinking like around 4.5 because it's not like a terrible movie. It's like it does a lot of things like well enough. It just does so many other things in such like a lackluster way that.
And like I said, I think it's great to be referential. And I think there's only so many ways, there's only so many stories to tell. You know what I mean? And we say this all the time, like, all you have to do is put your own spin on it and make sure you do it well.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, we've got Tourist Trap and Sleepaway Camp and Mother's Day and 2006 Black Christmas and, like, all of these things. Maybe even a little bit of the Texas Chainsaw remake, the one I like, the Do Your Thing,
I was thinking that, too, at the end of the movie.
Yeah, where she's like, let's go bury this bitch. I was like, do your thing, cuz.
Yeah, do your thing, bro. She like, should have said that. Like, do your thing, bruh.
It's just, there's so much there. And, again, I love a reference to another horror movie. I love knowing that a director and a writer are fucking nerds. But do a little bit of something with it. You know what I mean?
Do a little bit of something with it, but also, like, do it well, I guess.
It almost feels like AI generated.
Kind
of. Like, I'm going to throw in all of my favorite movies into this and have it pop out a script for me.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. I don't mind.
Also, Silent Night, Deadly Night. We got that bit in there, too.
I don't mind movies doing these types of things either. It's just, I don't like seeing like a shittier version of it. It's just like I saw some things from Halloween 2, or not Halloween 2, but Halloween as well, where he like sneaks up from behind and like they almost do like the scene where she finds all the bodies in Annie's house, mm-hmm. and then he sneaks up behind her, like where the light like flashes on him. They did the scene exactly like that in this movie, and it's like, okay, it looks fine, it's okay, but like you're Halloween did it so well, and then just seeing this right here, it's like it's automatically going to be like, well, okay, a little bit underwhelming to see that.
Yeah, like it just, Again, there's only so many ways you can do certain things. And yeah. I get that. And I'm willing to cut any movie slack for that. I just want to see some creativity involved with it.
Okay. All right. Let's get talking all about right. it then.
Starting average 4.25.
4.25. Okay. Oh, is that... Oh, we're lower than we're IMDb. We're
lower than IMDb.
Whoa.
Rarely happens.
Another notch on the roller coaster. Do. 0.2.
I feel like we're on the roller coaster from...
Final Destination
3? Yes.
Yep. Okay. So the kids in the opening of this movie are peer-pressuring each other to fuck with some Christmas decorations outside.
I kind of like this creepy Christmas decoration.
I really do too.
Like a scarecrow and a Santa suit. I like that. That's fun.
It was
our
cool.
giant skeleton. Patella Lugosi is wearing a giant hat and bow right now.
Only thing is, he doesn't look creepy right now. This
he doesn't.
Is,
he looks very welcoming.
This looks creepy right here because it's that black mask and it looks kind of terrifying. So they take some rocks and throw shit at it, and then like it kind of falls apart and they scramble.
Yeah. And then we see like a POV shot of some walking, and the person grabs some hedge trimmers inside.
And the outfit.
Yeah. Inside the house, we got a little kid and their mom, I'm assuming.
Yes.
I thought maybe it was like there's potential for it to be like an older sister, like with a significant age gap. I could see that.
Yeah.
But they're like sleeping together. Little kid wakes up, hears knocking, answers the door to who at this point I was referring to as quote unquote Santa.
This is actually a pretty creepy scene where like the kid peeks out the window and then Santa's just kind of peeking from the side of the house and like does like the little finger wave at him. Mm-hmm. It actually is pretty freaky.
Yeah.
And the kid unlocks the door because he thinks it's Santa Claus. He's like, okay, come like give me my presents.
Mom wakes up, goes downstairs, sees that the door is open and the yard decor is ruined, and it's just like, ugh. And says Jacob is asleep on the couch. Is Jacob asleep? We never get confirmation. I feel like Jacob's probably dead because Jamie is killing
That's
cats
true.
And dogs and people, and I don't see how a kid would be off Jamie's list.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think the kid probably is dead.
I just wish we had confirmation one way or the other.
Yeah, so she decides to go back and take a shower.
I will say, I love this because almost every other time we see somebody showering in a movie, they're just putting soap directly on their hand and rubbing it on their body, which is not the most efficient way of bathing.
Yeah.
She's using a loofah.
Yeah.
It's so nice.
Yeah, it's
so
nice. It's accurate. Yeah.
But she's not using overhead lighting. She's lighting candles instead.
You know, that's a choice. It's a moody bathroom, like a moody shower.
Yeah, but
type
she's
setting.
Putting it on the toilet, which would just be really annoying when her boyfriend or husband or whatever comes in and, you know, maybe he needed to pee. Maybe that's why he couldn't get Mr. Happy because he had to pee.
Nah, I don't think that's the case.
Okay.
So the door opens slowly and then the shower curtain gets pulled open and it's the boyfriend husband. I don't really know the relationship dynamic here.
I just wrote partner.
Yeah, but they are gonna have some little sexy time, but he's gotta get his little man
up. He's gotta get it
up
first.
Yeah. So
she was like, you know, I don't like to look at it when it's flaccid. That shit's gross.
His face gets like, it sinks. It's just like, boom. Okay.
He must be a grower.
Either that or it's like,
or he's maybe got he's ED. Been having, yeah, maybe he's been having issues lately.
Yeah, well,
he's waiting on that Viagra to come in.
They have those commercials like all over YouTube and shit about that type of stuff. Like, you know. I'm sure you could find your product out there, buddy. But his
hymns,
antidote.
He's got hymns, good. Yeah, he needs good hymns. We're not
like
sponsored
the
by like, them, but.
Yeah. My dick didn't get up before, but now I'm not ashamed to talk about it. He's like talking about it on like an elevator.
Yeah,
like, crowded
like,
with people.
All like, right, Jim.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, fine. Whatever, man. We don't hear about it. But his version of hymns is, again, going to a corner and
talking to his penis.
Yeah, giving himself like a little pump-up jam. And, you know, he's charging his crystals there.
Is that what we're calling it?
Mm-hmm. Charging the J.O. crystals.
So back in the bathroom, the curtain is pulled back, and this time it really is the killer. And he kills the woman in the shower.
Stabbing her in the nipple.
No, it like went up through the titty.
It was like, it looked like it was like right in the nipple.
And then he gut her in the throat.
Yeah.
And then he goes to the bedroom and snips off Mr. Happy.
Yeah, they do a really good job with these kills. All the effects look fantastic in this movie.
Okay.
All right, so
we cut to a woman driving and an insane version of...
Can this be my other absurd... The shit fucking had me dying whenever I heard this. Because it sounds like it's up on the rooftop. And I'm like, okay, it's the same song as always. But then it's like talking about
wanting a dick and big balls.
It's like talking about Santa's dick and balls. I was like, what the fuck is happening here?
Getting into his sack and like...
It's so fucking funny.
It just catches you off guard. Like, if you're only halfway paying attention because you're like, yeah, I know, up on the rooftop, blah, 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 blah. And then I'm like, oh, his giant sack. What?
Like, you almost have to do like a mental double take. Like, what the fuck did I just hear? They're talking about his balls. Like, what the fuck?
Big balls.
Big balls. Yeah.
Big balls.
It was so funny. Yeah. I lost my shit during this.
Yeah.
But it's Rachel. She's in her car and she's pulling into the driveway of her grandma's house.
Mm-hmm. She's got a gift for her mom, but not for her grandma.
And grandma's so rude, like, right?
Hey, that's kind of rude, and honestly, you need to stop buying your mom gifts because she's not around to open them up.
Yeah.
Not to rub salt into the wound, but you do realize she's not here, right? She's like, it's fucking creepy, just like Mrs. Garrett across the street. Don't go talk to that lady. And Rachel's like, but what about her daughter? And she goes, so that's not our business.
Yeah. Also, before that, she like saw Mrs. Garrett out there being questioned by cops, mm-hmm, too. So like, what the fuck happened there? I thought it was about the murders that just happened. But well, I realized now after the fact it's about Jamie escaping.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Mrs. Garrett did send a card and request that Rachel help with decorations, but she's like, first I gotta go Christmas shopping with my friends.
Who the fuck does that? Like, who sends a card asking people for help? The
same person that's got 20 goddamn mannequins inside her house.
That's true.
And Rachel does kind of get cornered because Mrs. Garrett is about to, like, die carrying one of these mannequins out to the front yard.
That was staged.
Like, she's like, I can't let this woman die in front of my own eyes.
You can and you should. So,
she goes over there, helps her, and she's like, well, I can't, you know, come in and help you decorate right now, but maybe after I catch up with my friends.
Right. So she's like, okay, whatever, come on by later on. Then we get this random shot of Sugar Balls, which is a dog that gets loose on his leash.
That name is abuse.
And gets into somebody's backyard, and the owner goes chasing after it, and then you just hear the dog die off screen, and then
the woman
gets stabbed by the shears also.
Let's see. Mrs. Garrett is inside confronting a Santa about her traumatic backstory.
This is so weird.
And then the mannequin starts to... I thought maybe we were going to have like live mannequins at one point.
That would have been cool.
But the mannequin starts to choke her, and then she wakes up and she goes, oh, okay. And then she talks to another mannequin who she's got like a necklace on that says daughter. So it's like, okay. Obviously, the daughter's dead. That's what we're learning about here.
Yeah, and also she's talking to the one that stresses Santa, and speaking about
I don't want to talk about it.
Well, I think it's kind of important to the story too.
She was abused as a child.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, I mean it is a very key motive in this movie to like have that. We don't have to like harp on it.
There's so much to unpack in this movie already, and it's just
I know, but
one other layer.
It's worth mentioning at least.
Rachel and her friends Sarah and Gia are catching up as they're shopping. Sarah is like, I have a surprise for you. And it's Rachel's ex-boyfriend Cody.
Yep. And he's got a rose.
Eat sad hot dogs together and talk about Rachel's abandonment issues.
It's so weird. I don't understand this shit.
It's funny because it looks like they they have their food in baskets in front of them. But it looks like it's just the hot dog buns. Like, there's nothing in the buns.
Yeah, they didn't have the budget for that, like, actual hot dogs. So we now cut to a random house.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a couple that are getting kind of sexy and kinky with each other. They're
in themed outfits.
It's
honestly kind of impressive.
Yeah. And they are, they're getting tied up. One of them is. The guy is getting tied up. And she's going to go to the fridge. And, okay, she is... grabbing a cucumber, peanut butter, jelly, and I think a stick of butter.
Yes, it was in fact a stick of butter.
Yeah.
And the whole time she's doing this, there's garden shears on the table, and she's like, huh, that's weird.
I just want to know what the fuck, like, those four things are gonna.
I could see I don't want a to know, honestly. Of any of the two of them, but all of them together.
It's just so fucking weird. Why the stick of butter?
Well, I Who imagine enjoys... it has something to do with the cucumber and something to do with the boyfriend being tied up.
This is so fucking nasty. Thought. I don't, you know, okay, let's, that's the thing that we need to skip over right there. So, yeah, she gets killed.
Yep. She gets stabbed right through her face.
Uh-huh.
And then the killer goes into the bedroom where the boyfriend is tied up and assumes that this is the kinky surprise the girlfriend was talking about, and then realizes very quickly that that is not, in fact, his girlfriend when the killer pulls down his Santa boxers and chops off his jingle balls.
His wiener, yep.
And as the stuff drops to the floor, a cat comes up and licks up the blood.
So weird. All right, so we're over at Mrs. Garrett's again. She's having Christmas dinner with her mannequins.
Yeah, and she's having a domestic dispute with the boyfriend, husband, mannequin.
This is so strange, man. Like, it's like the most bizarre way to provide exposition.
They do this blurry shot. Yeah, I mean, we didn't, like, literally we needed none of this.
Yeah.
We see this blurry shot of the mannequin kind of moving over to the table, and Mrs. Garrett's already sitting there. So I was like,
okay, I kind of like that.
Yeah, I was like, are we getting like an actual tourist trap situation where the mannequins are moving on their own? Yes, I think no, I don't know.
It could have been cool to like play with the ambiguity of that right there.
Yes, I really thought it was going to be more important, but no, it was just somebody who was like, hey, mannequins are creepy, which, yes, 100% agree.
Yeah.
But like, make it matter more.
Isn't it also weird that in this house she's got the Christmas tree, but then she's also got like a separate thing that's just like the mannequin on a stage that is surrounded by all kinds of other Christmas decorations? Isn't it weird?
It's not the weirdest thing.
It's not the weirdest thing, but that's the thing that immediately drew me into this house. I was like, what the fuck is this right here? It's so weird. And like, you realize it's actually feels like her daughter.
A really bad, like, Christmas display at like Sears or something, you know?
Kind of, yeah. It's just bizarre to see it inside a house.
The way she's talking to the husband mannequin is very Annie Wilkes.
Yeah.
She was like, I slave away for dinner and this is how you treat me. And so Rachel brings her friends to Mrs. Garrett's house as payback for Sarah ambushing her with her ex.
Mm-hmm.
She says that she's got it. Mrs. Garrett says she's got a date, but not that kind of date because she's proudly celibate. What kind of a date?
A friend date? I don't know.
She said to get some boxes from the attic, put up more lights outside, decorate the bathrooms, and make sure you drink some eggnog.
Yeah, her special eggnog.
Immediately sus.
Yes.
Rachel asks very invasive questions about Mrs. Garrett's missing child, Jamie.
It's like, it's strange because she's like showing her around the house, and then she sees Jamie's room, and she's like, oh, can I go check it out? So they go in there to look at it. There's a mannequin in there of, like, I guess Jamie's, like, it wouldn't be Jamie's outfit because it's a grown woman's outfit.
Yeah, and it looks almost like a Halloween version of Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, too. It kind of seemed like that. Maybe it was, like, a Halloween type thing.
Yeah.
I don't know,
but, you know, they talk about Jamie and how Jamie wasn't allowed outside when they were kids, and...
Yeah,
Rachel's
she's asking.
Like, I always wanted to play with Jamie, and I left this Raggedy Ann doll, and then we get a single flashback. Here's my thing with movies. If you're going to have a flashback, it needs to be a significant flashback, and there's probably should be multiples, because otherwise if you throw in a random flashback, it feels just very like, I don't know how else to convey this.
Yeah.
And we already know that Mrs. Garrett is bananas, so we didn't need to see her gaslighting her child.
Yeah, it's strange, but it's like the scene of Rachel leaving the doll outside in the grass
very
for Jamie.
Very friendly.
Yeah.
And waving, wanting Jamie to come outside, and Mrs. Garrett being like, those girls are bitches. They're selfish. They don't care about you. See? She left you a doll?
I think
she doesn't want to play with you?
I think it's funny that she's like, Yeah, like they don't understand you. They'll never understand you. You're like, they're gonna hate you. You don't fit in with them. And then it cuts to her like in the present. She's like, I was only good to her. I like spoke all of this like very confidence building shit.
Positive reinforcement is very important, and it's important to note Mrs. Garrett was referring to Jamie strictly as she and her, which is how Rachel's referring to Jamie. That's how everybody refers to Jamie.
Yeah.
In this point in the movie, because the big reveal later is that Mrs. Garrett didn't want a son.
Right.
And she mutilated her child to get what she wanted, but it didn't work.
Yeah, but before we get to that point.
Yeah, Rachel asks what happened when Jamie went missing. And Mrs. Garrett, like, we're not going to talk about that. Just like, I won't talk about your mom going missing.
Yeah,
that's so, Rachel's like, oh, okay.
So weird. Yeah, that was kind of crossing the line there a little bit.
I mean, yes, it was a very invasive question on Rachel's part, but also like, damn, Mrs. Garrett.
All right, so Mrs. Garrett leaves, and they all just kind of investigate the whole place.
And they say that the windows are screwed shut, which feels like it's going to be significant later, but it really isn't, because apparently it's just that window in the living room screwed shut.
Yeah.
All of the rest of the windows seem to open just fine.
Well, just one other window they try. It's the bathroom window. But all of the doors have locks on them, too. Like, padlocks at the top of it. So, like, other than the other lock, it's a little sketchy in there.
Sarah's like, all of these gifts over here are addressed to Jamie, and that's really creepy. And Rachel's like, sometimes people just give gifts to dead people.
It's normal. It's normal. Fine. Everybody does it. You do, too.
And then Sarah talks about one of the rumors that happened was that Krampus took Jamie.
Yeah, and this is when they're kind of going like, well, is this like a fucking Krampus movie? Is this what we're doing
like,
here now?
Oh, okay, so it's not a Santa, it's a Krampus. Yeah. That's where I was like, okay, maybe this is not a mask, it's the character design. No,
they drop it here. That's the last it's ever discussed. So cut to another home now. There's a woman, she sees her window open, and again, she's trying to get sexy with somebody else.
But the person is in the shower, and so she decides instead she's going to read Butcher Baker Nightmare Maker.
Did they do like a novelization of that movie, apparently?
Or was it based off of a novel? I don't remember.
It's the same exact poster as the movie poster. I feel like it's got to be like either like a novelization of it or something else. But she's over there like reading the book, laying on her bed.
And she tells her partner in the shower, she's like, you know, once I start reading, I'm not going to want to do anything.
Yeah.
Especially that fucking book.
Yeah. Well, dude, you know what? Doesn't that kind of almost is similar? Maybe that was like a hint at shit for this movie because the family dynamic. But anyway, she's laying on the bed and there's a shear that goes up through it. And it's so weird that this doesn't ring bells to this woman to jump off the bed and get the hell out of there.
Yeah,
she stays on the bed for like 5 minutes.
Like five more stabs happen.
Yeah.
And she's like, okay, now I guess I'll jump. And then she gets pulled under the bed and killed.
Yeah.
So her partner in the bathroom, these are sociopaths also. I know that they're lesbians and they die, and that's sad. But they're sociopaths because they put garland around their shower head.
I thought that was kind of fun.
No.
It was like, okay, it might stress you out, but I like the idea of it. I thought it was kind of fun.
It's not happening.
Okay, so she gets out of the shower, and she's also trying to get some sexiness. Everybody's just trying to get some sexy times going on in this movie.
Yeah.
But, and that's what happens in this general neighborhood. Everybody's just fucking.
And then I thought maybe, like, okay, maybe we've got, like, a Puritan Krampus situation. It's like, okay, sex is bad, and that's why Mrs. Garrett makes a point about talking about celibacy.
Could be, yeah.
And that's not how this goes either.
No. The Santa killer chases this person and kills her, too.
And then, because... once again, they're lesbians, or they're in a same-sex relationship. They might identify otherwise. Yeah. But they obviously neither of them has a penis, so the killer takes their big pink dildo.
Yeah, that's so weird. Like, why even, like, are you going to entertain the idea of, like, that instead?
I don't know. If you're like robot dick, a dick back on...
Sure,
wouldn't that be kind of interesting to have a dick that just like vibrates by itself?
Maybe. I don't know. Like
battery operated dick, robo dick.
That one you could keep, I guess. Throw out the first dudes because it don't work.
Yeah. There's blood flow issues.
Yeah, that one needs to get out of the pile there. Okay.
Maybe that's why it took the guy so long to scream after it was cut off, because like it took a while for the
thing to get out. Okay. I see what she did. Yeah. Okay. Ah!
I did not If somebody wants to tell us how many times we say the word dick in this episode,
you have to say it. You have to talk about him a lot in this movie.
I didn't expect to talk about dick so much in this.
This movie has the most dicks that we've ever had.
I woke up this morning and I was like, I'm going to eat some Thai food and I'm going to talk about some violent Christmas movies. And then then we had dicks galore.
You know what? Honestly, that whole thing is like the experience of this movie. Oh, okay. That's just like the experience of watching this.
It's that roller coaster again.
Yeah. Do. Down another tier. Okay, so mom is in. She finds like a picture of her mom and Mrs. Garrett next to each other. Mm-hmm, she's mm-hmm. like, she lied. She did know my mom, which that is also a dumb thing. She's like, she told me she didn't know my mom very well, but there's a picture of them standing beside each other. And I'm like, I did organize events too. I've stood next to people and taken pictures with them, and I've never spoken a word with them.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't mean anything.
So, Rachel's snooping in the closet. Gia is wearing the daughter mannequin dress, mm-hmm. and Sarah's like, I need to be more drunk to be in this house. So far, I agree the most with Sarah.
Yeah.
So they tell her to go to the Stop and Shop down the street before it closes at midnight. So she does. Mm-hmm. She calls her grandma, Rachel calls her grandma to ask about Mrs. Garrett and her mom knowing each other. And grandma's like, we're not talking about that right now. And so Rachel hangs up on her. And what a shitty last way to speak to your grandmother.
Yep. Because she's in her wheelchair rolling around and she notices that the door was split open. So she starts rolling around to investigate, and then Santa Claus
letters in the closet mm-hmm. addressed to her daughter, Rachel's mom.
Yes.
And then there's a cat jump scare. And she's like, ha ha ha.
That cat got so fucking high. Like, it was like over her head.
That's Zoe.
That is Zoe. That's Zoe. It jumped all the way up there like that.
And then the killer comes in, wheels Granny out, and across the ravine into the next county.
The shot of the wheelchair like falling over the hill, that was hilarious.
I am in no way exaggerating when I say it is so much like that shot from Mac and Me.
It was. Like, it was like
when the kid like goes rah, and he's like off the edge of the cliff. That is what happened to Grandma.
They just took a wheelchair and a mannequin and just like threw it off of the side of like a cliff. Pretty much.
Do you think that there's people that are like, you know, park rangers or whatever, responsible for keeping ravines clean? And just ever since Mac and Me has been released, they're just like, why are there always fucking wheelchairs down at the bottom of this ravine?
That would be assuming that many other people have watched Mac and Me.
Well, thanks to Paul Rudd.
I think Paul Rudd's probably the only one that has still watched it.
The park rangers are just like, Paul Rudd!
You just like see Paul Rudd just like on all fours in like the wilderness, just like.
Megan.
Yeah. I want that. I want that to be real. Rachel goes over to grandma's. She calls again and leaves a message and she's like, I'm sorry, I hung up on you.
Then because she didn't get an answer, she goes to check on her grandma and doesn't find anything aside from the box of letters addressed to her mom.
Well, also, Santa, the killer, overheard the message. And like, here's that she mentions they're over at Miss Garrett's. Mm-hmm. So that's the next location that they're going to go to.
So Sarah's back with the booze, which was wrapped very nicely from the Stop and Shop. I like the care that Stop and Shop put into their wine.
It was nice.
Especially considering it was probably like $7 bottle of rosé or something.
Yeah.
She spots the killer, who I have now switched to calling Krampus in my notes.
Oh, okay.
Thinks that it's her friends joking, like pulling a prank. And so she, you know, follows the killer and then she gets attacked. And she's like trying to wave at Gia, who's drinking eggnog in the kitchen. And Gia's kind of like, huh, what's happening?
And this is when we have the weird sound thing where the sound cuts out
just
randomly.
Cuts out. Like I said, I love playing around with a diegetic sound like that where you have the cut to the kitchen and like maybe you just hear kind of like a muffled something.
Yeah.
And it's jarring to, you know, the not exposition, where they're like contrasted against each other.
Juxtaposition.
Yes, thank you. I do kind of like that kind of juxtaposition, but it's not I don't think it's intentional.
No, that, I don't think. I think it was just like
it's just a goof.
They overlooked that like bit of audio being in that one moment there for sure is what it was. But Sarah gets attacked and is killed. Here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rachel calls her ex-boyfriend, who I eventually learned was named Cody.
Yeah.
She tells him about the letters, and the letters are from an affair that her mom had with a married man who happens to be Mrs. Garrett's ex-husband.
Whoa. Okay.
Gia goes to the front door to check on Sarah, doesn't see her, doesn't bother to look much more.
But you see Santa sneak in the house from the background there.
Yeah, yeah. Gia finds the bottle of wine and is like, okay. And then she gets attacked and she fights. And she goes and hides in the bathroom and tries to get out through the window and gets attacked through the window. So it goes out the bathroom door and then gets attacked at the staircase, which is then where I'm like, okay, clearly this is more Christmas magic stuff happening, because this killer person has been going from house to house, is teleporting, is magically underneath beds. Like, all of this stuff, like, there is no, this shouldn't have been like, oh, the person was my child all along. Like, it shouldn't have. It doesn't make any sense.
No, no. Look, man, if we excuse it for Ghostface, I excuse it for every other killer. I'm allowing it. Ghostface rules.
But Ghostface rules works because there's multiple Ghostfaces.
Not always. Always. Like, sometimes the other Ghostface is there in plain sight pretending to be innocent.
But also, remember, that was a big part of my problem with Scream 3 was that Roman was a solo Ghostface.
I'm just saying, like, it's a thing. Like, it's a thing. Like, it happens in, like, all of the Scream movies. Like, it's just, slashers, you gotta ignore that shit. It doesn't matter.
This so, is egregious, though.
It's not that egregious. It's whatever. Egregious. This person, it's their house. They know the layout of it. Whatever.
They haven't been there since they were five.
It's the same fucking house.
It's been 15 years.
I don't care. You memorize that shit. So it all leads down to the basement.
Is a nice, neat number.
It all leads down to the basement.
As it always does.
Yes. And that's where Gia gets killed.
Yes. Okay. Rachel is back. The lights are out. Because, of course. But don't worry, because Rachel has a flashlight. Because also, of course.
It's so weird that her instinct is like, whoa, where are you guys at? Is nobody here? The lights are out. Ooh, eggnog. And she drinks eggnog.
Eggnog that's been sitting
it's
out.
It's got to be room temperature. It's got to be so gross.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I can't imagine.
That's suspect. Even if it wasn't implied that Mrs. Garrett clearly drugged the eggnog, I would be like, yeah, obviously you're going to feel sweaty and gross. You probably just got food poisoning.
Yeah. Like, actually, like, it was like a really good homemade recipe, but she drank and she's like, ugh. Starts like seeing shit and tripping.
Yeah, and Mrs. Garrett, like, yeah, whoa. No shit. Like, that stuff, it's got to stay refrigerated,
yeah.
Rachel.
Yeah, what are you doing?
Okay. So
she gets a call from Cody again.
Yeah, and he's like, I looked up Mr. Garrett. He's been in prison for 15 years. You need to get out of that house.
Yeah.
Because clearly that's why the police were there, was they were, you know, letting Miss Garrett know that he broke out of prison. But it's like, also, so you say you can't find that much about Mr. Garrett. I feel like the news would be like, hey, local convict got out of prison, murders children for fun, be on the lookout.
Tried to murder a kid for fun one time.
I mean, you know, but the news, you have
that's
to
such
be
a specific headline. Man escaped from a prison, tried to murder a kid one time.
Also, I feel like that's a really long time to be in prison just for an attempted murder.
I don't know.
Maybe he had a really shit lawyer.
Probably. He probably defended himself. That's the thing. All right. So Rachel's just kind of stumbling through the house and stumbles upon Miss Garrett.
Yep. Well, it's because she found the key to the secret room.
Yes.
And the tiny door. You love a tiny door, so I'm surprised you didn't mention the tiny door.
The tiny door is so strange.
So she goes in there and she gets down there, and Mrs. Garrett's down there, and Rachel's like, the lights are out, and then lights come back on. She goes, the lights are back on, and Mrs. Garrett's like, that's because Jamie's home. And Rachel's like, no, Mrs. Garrett, Jamie's dead.
Yeah, those presents, she's not coming back, Mrs. Garrett.
It starts getting so convoluted here, and there's no need for it to be like this. The movie was paced better. They could have made this all flow so much better.
Yeah.
So she reveals that her husband found out the truth about Jamie, that Jamie was born a boy and that Mrs. Garrett had cut his penis off. And instead of being furious with Mrs. Garrett, was apparently furious with Jamie and tried to kill Jamie.
Wait, isn't that weird though, right? Like, was he not present for the birth of their child? Like, would he not have known?
He kind of sounds like he was probably actually an asshole, so.
I guess that's true.
Yeah. I mean, if he, like, is mad enough that his child was born, I mean, that's.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, there are real life parents out there who probably, you know, who, like, send their children to, like, conversion camps and shit like that.
Okay,
so
that's fair.
I can buy this, but Mrs. Garrett takes the opportunity to pin Jamie's presumably now healed genital mutilation on her husband as well. But Jamie still gets taken away and has spent the past 15 years in a psychiatric hospital.
Right.
Rachel starts to feel faint because she drank salmonella in a mug.
Yeah, and she starts to trip here, and like it almost seems like she's having the same interactions that Mrs. Garrett was having with the mannequins earlier. She was like talking to her dead mom, and like
maybe it's just like Hiawatha is in the eggnog.
I don't fucking know, but I thought it's funny that like as soon as Mrs. Garrett hears her talking to a dead relative, she's like, "Oh yes, you've had my eggnog."
Yeah, she's like, "I know that."
That
and
shit,
then
yeah.
The nog sweats.
Yeah. Oh boy, we've all been there. I'll be your trip buddy today. Rachel passes out from it.
And she wakes up, she's tied up in Jamie's closet wearing a dress that looks, again, like a Halloween costume version of Cinderella this time.
Yeah, I guess it is, yeah. I thought it was the same dress as Alice in Wonderland.
Because it doesn't have the little...
Oh, okay.
The little
ruffle?
No. The, like, the spade and club.
Oh, yeah. Okay, whatever.
yeah, it really doesn't matter. Cody is there. He's like,
no, this is so fucking stupid. Hold on a second. So it starts off, she's tied up. She looks over, and then entering the room is Jamie. And Jamie
is tied up with very thin nylon rope as well.
Yeah. And Jamie.
That shit, let me tell you again, because once again, I was a weird child that played with rope for fun. And this thin nylon rope is very slick. You have to tie it just right. And usually you want to burn the ends together so that way the knot doesn't slip out. So it's no surprise that Rachel gets loose. Yes.
You know all about this. Yes. Thank you. All right.
This is my contribution to the show.
All right. Let me continue. So Jamie shows up and approaches her, right? And then vanishes. And then she opens her eyes, and then it's Cody standing there.
And he's like, "Don't worry. I knocked him out
what,
cold."
Wait, no. What the fuck happened there? How did Cody figure out where that was? How did Cody know where to go? How did Cody get around Mrs. Garrett and all of these other people? Like, what the fuck happened? It seems like a poor writing decision and poor editing.
Sorry, you have already said that Jamie's movements throughout this house are not egregious, so we're just going to give this a big ol'...
It's Jamie. Well, it's the killer. Like, it's that only applies to killers. Like, normal
but
people can't do this
type like
of shit.
Seems like maybe they want to check out Cody's dick.
Well, too. They do, but it's just so weird that it felt like an oversight in editing and writing that, and suddenly Cody is right there, right in front of her. Like, okay, we needed to have this guy here at this moment.
Yeah, but Cody didn't do a very good job of knocking Jamie out. So Jamie sits up, fights Cody. Breaks his leg, I think, maybe.
It twists his ankle, at least.
Yeah. So Rachel hides him into yet another tiny door. and then she fights the killer and then jumps from the window. Doesn't take off the high heels. That's an interesting
question. I love the shot, though, of them jumping from the window because, like, the camera is pointed in a way to make you think. It's like a camera trick to make it look like it's, like, a big fall.
Jump.
But, like, you see them actually jump, and it's just like jumping from a coffee table to the floor.
Yeah, that's like that picture I have of our friend rock climbing in the gorge.
Yeah.
And they're actually like 2 feet above the ground.
Yeah,
I
exactly.
Just did it at like an extreme angle. I was like, whoa, look at them.
It's just funny that they didn't even try to like make a cut to make it look like a big fall. Like it's just like, eh, we. So the chase leads outside.
And somehow back into the house.
Yeah, she circles around and goes back into the house.
And then she sees a mannequin wearing her clothes. So maybe Mrs. Garrett dresses mannequins up in murdered people's clothing.
I think that this is like her saying, "You're my daughter. I put my daughter's clothing on these mannequins."
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure that's what it is.
It doesn't matter, because either way, like, this is where she tells Rachel that she killed her mom because her mom was a whore, and she is going to raise her as the daughter she should have had because her husband gave her mom a daughter and didn't give Mrs. Garrett a daughter.
At the same time. So, like, they were born, like, months apart. Or, like, at the same month, at least.
Yeah. So they put Rachel in a cage, and Cody is tied up to the table, and Jamie brings out his big old sack of dicks.
And they're, like, just picking through the dicks, like, okay, which one do you want? And then Jamie just, like, looks over at Cody. He's like, that one right there. That dick. You haven't even seen the dick. Like, how do you know that you want that one?
There's a reason Rachel broke up with him. I'm not saying it's because of his dick, but I'm not saying it's not because of his dick.
We don't know for
sure.
Can't confirm.
So Mrs. Garrett sends Jamie up to grab her surgical bag. And then while she's up there, she's like, I'm gonna put Jamie out of his misery.
Yeah.
And then we're gonna be happy together, and clearly you're gonna go along with this. It's fine.
Yeah, you're gonna be cool with this, right? This is
like, it's fine.
Are you gonna be okay? Yeah, you're okay. Don't worry about it.
Don't worry. A couple more mugs of nog, and you'll be singing a different tune.
Yeah.
So
she leads Jamie out into the living room to give Jamie a present.
First, she kills Cody.
Oh yeah, first Cody. Well, she's like, okay, hold on, just a second, Jamie, and then kills Cody real quick.
And she goes out to the living room, and she says, Jamie, I love you. Except actually, I fucking hate you, and I'm a bigot, and I'm going to say terrible things about you, even though I did those terrible things to you. So she stabs Jamie with, like, the very tip of a knife. This woman has murdered so many people. She should be better at murdering by now.
I don't think she's done most of the murdering. I think it's Jamie that's done the murdering.
She's killed at least a couple of people.
I think she's only killed... She's killed Cody. I think that's about it.
And she killed Rachel's mom.
Did she?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because she said she buried that bitch in the backyard.
Oh, yeah. Bitch.
That whore.
Yeah.
So, whatever. Jamie starts fighting Mrs. Garrett, and then Rachel comes out, and she says, do your thing, cuz.
No, watches, do your thing, bro.
Do your thing, bro. And bruh. Watches a bro and a bra all bruh. In one, because they're clearly, like, they're going to be a happy bubbies. Family together, maybe?
They're going to be bubbies.
Okay,
so basically, like,
Jamie chokes out Mrs. Garrett, and then Rachel says, let's bury this bitch in the backyard.
I get it.
And then Jamie takes off his mask and lays it on top of his mom.
And is silent, doesn't say a word. And
we don't even get, like, a full focus shot of Jamie's face at any point.
See, and again, this is, like, this whole ending is basically the ending of Texas Chainsaw 3D, where... At the end, Leatherface walks in, like, after a hard day's work, and it's just like, oh, God, okay. And then, like, just holds his arm out just to, like, get it stitched up.
Yeah, like, ugh, that shit again.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's it.
And then, yeah, that's the credits. Like, she turns off all the Christmas lights, and then it goes dark, and then credits roll.
You know what? This is fucking 3.5 now.
3.5. Well, so mad you threw your pen.
I threw my pen.
What was mine again? 4.5?
Mm-hmm.
What were you? Okay. I think 4.5 is fine for this movie. I think that's pretty much where it belongs.
All right. So our average went down to 4.
Okay.
I honestly, like, I would edit the hell out of this movie. I think it's got some interesting ideas there, but it needs to pick an idea. It needs to land on it. It needs to expand upon it. It needs to figure out what story it's wanting to tell.
Yeah.
I feel like it's choosing, like, a bunch of, like I said, like, classic motifs from other horror movies. And is just kind of throwing them in a blender without any finesse. I think that, like, there's some really good decisions in the movie. Like, with the special effects, and, like, the mannequins are creepy, and we've got, like, these interesting out-of-focus shots that are meant to make you wonder what's happening. Like, there are good ideas there. I think this person has ability to do a good movie. I just think that this was half-baked.
I think that this person just, like, I see potential in them. And, like, a couple of movies, like, down the road, they could really be onto something. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I want them to find their own voice.
Yeah, I do too. Like, I mean, it doesn't even bother me that much that it's, like, uninspired. It's just... like there are moments, there are flashes of it that are really well done, but yes. then like so much of it is just kind of like, eh, okay, wah, wah. Whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, it had a lot of potential, but I don't know. I guess it just never fully lived up to it. All right.
All right.
What was Scout's favorite part of this movie? Let's see.
I'm supposed to ask you that.
Role reversal.
No. What do you think Scout liked about this movie?
I think Scout's favorite part was maybe Cody hiding in the tiny door, because she likes to hide into small spaces.
Obviously, Scout's favorite part was the one cat that wasn't murdered by Jamie, and that's the cat that eats the dick.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep. That's right. Yep. I'll buy that.
I'm writing on the notes. Scout, eat a dick.
Do not say that to our cat. I will not stand for that.
She's literally wearing a collar that says asshole on it right now.
I'll stand for that. That's fine.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So who did you relate to?
I think I related to Sarah. Like, we're in a creepy mannequin house. I need to be drunk.
Okay.
I don't like mannequins, you guys. I really don't.
Mannequins are pretty creepy in this movie.
Yeah.
Also, at the end when he's strangling Miss Garrett, I like that the mannequins came to life and just like was like piling over top of him. It's like, ooh, you're getting killed.
Yeah.
Just like watching her, like, ooh, yeah. Serves you right. Let's see, who did I relate to? I relate to the people that decorated the house in the beginning of the movie, because I liked their Christmas decorations.
Yeah, like the little lawn chair and the creepy guy.
Yeah, like going with the creepy Christmas decorations, you know what I mean? Because that's like a fun way to do it.
I feel it.
Mm-hmm. All right. Dream sequel. So.
Okay.
God, what the fuck do you do with this?
Okay. You know what? If we're pulling from other movies anyway, let's go to Sleepaway Camp 2.
No, hold on.
Let's get Jamie really, really out there.
You could do that, or you could go Devil's Rejects and you can make them the people, like they're terrible people, but you root for them in the next movie.
Okay.
You know what I mean? It could be Christmas again.
Or maybe just like, let's just go through all of the holidays.
No, you gotta be Christmas. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's gotta be Christmas for this right here. It's a Christmas themed series if we're gonna do a sequel. Yeah. I don't know, man. Let's do your Sleepaway Camp 2 inspired thing. Okay, let's do that. I think that makes the most sense. So, Jamie and Rachel are close now. Do they continue killing? Do they have to like?
Yeah, maybe Rachel. Okay, so maybe it's like Rachel is trying to get Jamie to stop killing, but Jamie's trying to get Rachel to start killing.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
It's almost like Seed of Chucky.
Yeah. Except like they're both puke face.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah, you it's like two sides, like don't kill, but then like when like God, I can't help myself. Like I'm addicted to killing.
Yeah. It's listen, just remember, recovery is not a straight line.
I can't wait to talk about those movies.
So excited.
Okay. Time for reviews. So
right. I'm very curious as to what reviews you found.
Okay. So as we've said, we do both good and bad reviews for Tubi or Not Tubi, since we don't get listener reviews.
Exactly.
So I am going to start off with the good review. Okay. If you aren't into 80s slashers and all thing or and all the fixings that made them so great, then this movie isn't for you. It's also not Silence of the Lambs. It is, however, a well-made, above-average indie slasher made for pure entertainment. This is a total homage film, and there's nothing wrong with that. This is a gory film. This is a T&A film. This movie celebrates what made many of the early slasher films so much fun, while also delivering a story that isn't spelled out for you. There is an actual mystery to the story and great technical work combining to make this movie a whole heck of a lot of fun to watch. The special effects are great, and there are many special effects in this movie.
There are.
The killer is iconic with a brutal backstory. The final girl earns that title. At the end of the day, I love what this film did. I got it, and I want more. I get it.
Yeah.
I mean, if those things actually work for you, like if you dug the callbacks and like homages to the past movies, and like it didn't make you wish you were watching that movie instead, then more power to you, I guess. I get it.
Yeah, I get it.
I love 80s slashers. I love those types of movies. Like, I guess, like, you know.
I just want this to be a little bit more of its own thing.
Yeah, I do too. I mean,
I think that's what I ultimately find the most frustrating, is it feels like it's all homages and that's it.
Yeah, exactly. I think you're right. Yeah, that's the thing that gets me too. Okay. Bad review. So, it was hard to find one with, like, actual criticism,
not just like this.
Yeah, exactly. Or that wasn't like five paragraphs long, but I got a 4 out of 10. It says, let's bury this bitch outside. Bitch spelled b-y-t-c-h.
Beach.
Another IFC movie. They crank so many of these things out, it is amazing. In the beginning, there's a couple of decent scenes. Of course, there's a shower scene with no nudity. That's a no-no, at least until the killer Santa splits open a breast with some garden shears. That doesn't really count. There's a lopping off of a male part too, which is always good fun. So the start of this is okay. Then as we move on, the movie gets a lot dumber. Predictable, less entertaining lines. At least the chicks involved are fairly hot. H-A-W-T in their underwear. That's about all you get though. Pretty standard IFC fare. 4 out of 10.
I mean, I will say it is kind of distracting how many women are in their underwear without actually seeing nipple.
It is kind of weird. And then you get that one.
Because this does feel like the review, the positive review you read said that this is a TNA film. And I feel like it's...
It's not really, no.
Yeah, like, where's the T?
You get more dicks, more D than the T. You get A in underwear.
Yeah, that's about it. That's what I'm saying. But you get the T in underwear, too.
Well, okay, you get the girl that you get the T, and, like, her underwear is a thong. So she turns around, and you get, like, A.
Yeah.
Pretty much, but...
Yeah, but you don't even see, like, the full butt.
No, you don't. But you see most of it.
It's a tease.
It is a tease.
It's a tease.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I mean, I get it. Like, I don't know. Those things don't... It's not going to make the movie any better if I get that stuff in it. You know what I mean?
It just feels gratuitous at a point to do that when you don't have a lot of substance in the actual movie itself.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I'm not going to say no to those things, but it's not going to automatically, like, bump it up a score if I get that, you know?
Yeah.
Whatever. Okay. So that's it for their reviews, and that's it for this. Wait, no. One thing. Titular question. I always forget. To be or not to be. Titular.
Okay.
So.
I think I wouldn't necessarily watch this movie again, but I would be willing to watch other movies by this director.
I agree. And I would, if I were having a conversation with people and like, I want some Killer Santa movies that I've maybe not seen before, I'd be like, okay, you know what? Like, you might enjoy this one. Because this, like, I can see this.
I would tell like some of our mutant fam friends that we hang out with. I'd be like, listen, didn't love it myself. You might enjoy it. At least check it out for your own self.
If you're just wanting like a slasher to throw in this holiday thing.
A lot of them listen, so they're probably like, okay, cool.
They might, I don't know.
It's fine.
Do you like seeing dicks getting chopped off? I've got a movie for you. Yeah.
I love a good dick chopping.
I mean, honestly, like... For a holiday-themed slasher, it's got a lot of potential. It's fine. I would recommend it to other people. So it's a 2B for me. I'll say go for it. I mean, I didn't hate watching it. It's just like after a certain amount of time, I got bored with it.
Yeah.
Is the thing.
Yeah.
But maybe other people won't feel that way. There are things there for other people in this movie. So, give it a shot.
There are some fun, like insane moments with it.
Yeah, there are. I mean, it does have its moments. The special effects are amazing.
Yes.
The kills are all pretty great. Yeah. I don't have a complaint about any of that.
Like, it doesn't make any sense that Jamie is going to all of the... Like, I mean, obviously at the end, okay, he was collecting dicks. Like, I get that. Yeah. But, like, it doesn't make any sense, like, his geographical movement.
No.
So it doesn't make sense story, like, you know, from that perspective, but you get all of these extra fun deaths. So. Yeah,
exactly. It's just fun. Whatever.
Okay.
But, okay. So I guess that is it for our 'Tis the Season to Be Jolly.
Yep. And we'll be back on Thursday with Violent Night.
Yeah, getting some more Santa type shit.
Ho, ho, ho.
This time it's actually Santa. So yeah. That's fun. I'm glad we get to talk about Santa Claus.
The much requested Santa backstory.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Everybody's been waiting for.
So be on the lookout for that on Thursday. Mm-hmm. In the meantime, if you want to find us, you can find us on social media. We have our Twitter and Blueski, which is at Least Fave Pod. Our Instagram and Threads account is Least Favorite Scary Movie Podcast. We're on Facebook, What's Your Least Favorite Scary Movie? Also have our website, whatsyourleastfavoritescarymovie.com, where you can find our stuff. And if you want to email us anything like suggestions, comments, or whatever, you just want to talk, email address is leastfavoritescarymovie@gmail.com.
Yep. And if you want to support the show beyond just listening, which is great support, we appreciate that, you can like, follow, subscribe, whatever you do, to wherever you listen to us at. Rate and review makes a big difference. Mm-hmm. And if you want to go the extra mile and join our Patreon, you'd be hanging out with cool people like Joe.
Freakatron.
As is his name, Amber and Michael.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Keep the website running. Keep us up to date with cool new mic stands and whatnot. Yeah. So we really appreciate that. We appreciate the comments we get on Patreon. That's fun.
It is, yes.
I like
you,
waking
guys
up to those like notifications like, love this episode.
Yeah.
So much fun.
Yeah, thank you.
I just was thinking about this and I wanted to tell you, like, we really do read those and enjoy those.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. So we're going to go ahead and we're going to talk about Violent Night now.
Yeah, we are.
All right.
All right. Until next time.
Bye.
Bye.